Welcome. You're listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast. Media Talk 101 is a nonprofit ministry dedicated to teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. Visit MediaTalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources, including our award-winning documentary, Captivated, which the Parents Television Council called deft and powerful. I went in to encourage you not only to get a copy for yourself, but we even have a special where you can buy one copy and get a second one for $5 to give away. Be a great gift for a friend, a neighbor, or your pastor or youth pastor. Be sure to send us your comments or questions to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast@mediatalk101.org. We've been fielding questions this summer. And also, if you find this program helpful, then please consider letting others know about it and help us get the word out. I'm your host, Philip Telfer, founder and president. And today, once again, with my podcast co-host, Rhett Simpkins, all the way in Mount Carroll, Illinois, and I'm all the way down in Spring Branch, Texas. So we're separated by about 1,200 miles, but because of this technology, we're able to record this podcast. So how are you doing, Rhett?
Pretty well. I'm just trying to stay out of the heat.
Okay, so it's hot up there, huh?
Yeah, summer decided to come back to the Midwest.
Well, it hasn't left down here in Texas. It's generally hot, and August is probably not the best time to come down to Texas if you're visiting. It's been well over 100 degrees on most days, but you know, we need to be where God calls us to be at any given moment, and that's where the Lord has us right now. So, but it's glad that you're holding the fort down there, and Rhett's a faithful friend and employee of Media Talk 101. He's the one who sends out all the DVDs, so if you've ordered from us, you can thank Rhett for being available to get those in the mail, and does a bunch of other things with the website, and so I'm just very grateful. So this week, Rhett, we're going to we're not necessarily going to do questions like we have been, and we do want to encourage our listeners that if you have questions, please send them to us. But what do we got going this week, Rhett?
Well, yeah, we're going to talk about a few things that have been in the news, and one thing I've noticed is that there's certainly a lot of violent stories in the news lately.
Yes, it has been very heartbreaking. In fact, in the last week, there have been three stories that are and I'm not going to go into details because I'm not, you know, Rhett, and for those who know me and for our podcast listeners and anybody who's had any kind of contact with Media Talk 101 over the last 10 years, you know that I kind of shy away from the sensationalistic stories in the news. I don't believe it's the best use of our time, and that it is as effective as really encouraging people to look to Jesus Christ. But that being said, there are times when things are in the news that I think should be a wake-up call to us. And that seems to be what's going on this week, starting with the story most of you probably heard about some young men who were bored, and so they went out and randomly shot a 22-year-old named Christopher Lane. He was from Australia, and he was here on a baseball scholarship in the U.S. in Oklahoma. And so this was a tragic story of just this random violence by some teenagers. And once again, they were bored. And so that's what they wanted to do for entertainment, was to go out and randomly kill someone. Now, that's bad enough to have in the news, but later on in the week, there was another article that I read, which really also broke my heart, and this was the beating death of a World War II veteran named Delbert Belton. And in this case, I, you know, don't want to go into all the details, but once again, it was some teens who mercilessly beat this man to death in a crime that has just horrified our country, and once again, heartbreaking. And then some friends of mine sent me a link to another news item that was just on Saturday. There was an 8-year-old who took a gun and killed a 90-year-old woman after he had been playing the popular video game Grand Theft Auto 4. So here we have three stories, all within about a span of a week, all violent crimes. Now, this last one is the only one that's linked to a child playing video games, and so I'll come back to that in a moment. The other ones, that didn't seem to come up, but I guarantee you that these young men all play violent video games, these ones that are doing these crimes. Now, I've been on radio shows before, and I've been asked to talk about violent video games and violent crimes. And one of the things I've often said is that, you know, the statistics, by the amount of young people playing these violent video games, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're all going to become violent criminals. In fact, statistically, they don't. And the problem is when people say, well, you know, my son or my grandson, he plays these violent video games and he's not a violent person. Well, I'm glad he's not, but that doesn't mean that's the only thing that is going to be negative from the playing of violent video games. But having said that, I think almost in every case where you have these teen murderers, they all play violent video games. It's one of the common denominators in their lives. And so certainly, though most young people won't do that, won't go out and commit some heinous crime like this, certainly there are some who do. And they find them, you know, they're in the news and we see their pictures. And it's a shocking reminder to us that our culture is taking a nosedive fast and has been for quite a while. I've been reading a book this last couple weeks by my friend Kevin Swanson. It's a book called Apostate. And if you've not heard about that book, you could look it up. I'm sure you can get that from their ministry at Generations with Vision, or it might even be available on Amazon.com. But one that I would recommend, because it talks about kind of the history of what happened. What happened to lead to the demise of Western civilization? And the things that we're seeing today in the news every day, where did it all start? And certainly, it's not apart from that biblical context of a spiritual battle that's going on, a battle between God and Satan, and a war for souls. And so we know that there's a spiritual battle going on. And as I see these things in the news, I'm just reminded of how dark things are, and how we are in desperate need for young people to break away from the current trends and to see them stand firm on a foundation of Jesus Christ against this torrent of godlessness that exists in our culture today. And it is truly a horrendous battle, but I know that by God's help, through the help of the Holy Spirit, through standing on the word of Christ, that young people can stand and be different, can be lights in the midst of darkness. So anyway, Rhett, those are, you know, heartbreaking. I don't know if you read those articles entirely or not, but
yes,
what were
I
your
did.
Thoughts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is heartbreaking. And I mean, what more can you say? We just need a generation of young people to rise up and say, we're not going to live like this, and we're going to serve the Lord. And, you know, that starts with each and every individual.
I agree. And now, if you're a parent, you've got one of the greatest responsibilities and privileges to disciple your children in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, to help them to navigate some of these issues, but to prepare them for the spiritual battle that we're facing. And certainly when it comes to media and entertainment, this is one of the things that we can actually we can help them in a great way by teaching them discernment, wise use of technology, as well as convictions. You know, we need to have some convictions that young people, they own themselves, that they understand the why, not just we don't do this and we don't do that, but what's the why? And really the answer is we want to become more like Christ. We want to follow him. We understand that the world has been corrupted and that those corruptions continue to permeate through our culture and send their tentacles everywhere. And we have to resist that. We have to be able to stand and be the people that are set apart, a holy people, a holy nation, a nation of priests, the Bible says, that we are here as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We are here as sojourners, as strangers and aliens in this lost world, to proclaim Christ, to shine the light, and to be different. And that is certainly a challenge for all of us. So if you're a parent, I just want to encourage you, don't give up that that fight, you know, even in your own home, to lead your children to Christ and to disciple them in Jesus Christ. And for young people that might be listening, you know, you have got an uphill battle that you're facing today. And I want to encourage you to stand and have that great foundation that is available to you. And Paul, the Apostle Paul, said in 1 Corinthians, there's no other foundation that anyone can lay than that which has been laid, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. So it begins with the gospel and it builds from there. And we're in great need for young people to take that stand. So that's you know, some great comments right now. What else? There was something else in the news this week that's also disheartening.
Yeah. Speaking of, you know, youth and culture, the MTV Video Music Awards were this week, and I don't keep up with it, but I'm sure, you know, MTV is still a driving force of youth culture these days, isn't it?
It is. In fact, it might be good. Let's go ahead and play some clips from Captivated. I know that Al Menconi and Dr. Jeff Myers both made some comments about MTV. So let's listen to what they have to say.
What's happening is that we live in the United States of America, or the vast majority of people watching this live in the United States of America. But we have to understand, our children don't see themselves living in the United States of America. They live in the United States of entertainment. And the Constitution for the United States of Entertainment has been written by MTV. And you say, well, my kids don't watch MTV. They live in a world that is governed by the values of MTV.
Robert Pittman, the founder of MTV, knew exactly what he was doing. He told the media, we don't just shoot for 14-year-olds, we own them. And as I thought through that statement, it reminded me of a statement that Adolf Hitler made when he was in Germany. He said to the parents, you're saying we don't want to come over to your side, and I say to you, your children belong to us already. The future is now in our camp. You are irrelevant. As I think that through as a parent now, looking back on those days, I realize that the media is not neutral. That there are agendas out there attempting to infiltrate and get into the minds of kids without them ever having to think it through logically, to change the way they think, the way they live, the way they vote, so that the future becomes more like what the secular humanist thinks will be paradise rather than what honors God.
Wow, those are powerful words, and I so much appreciate the insight that Al Menconi has and Dr. Jeff Myers. They're kind of lone voices in this world today, and we need to keep praying for more men like them to you know, be speaking truth into our lives.
I know that some people feel that you know, parents should stay up on top of what's going on in the youth culture and maybe even, you know, watch the Video Music Awards. What do you think about that?
That, you know, that's a really tricky question. And I'll just say my gut reaction is no. But I know that I would be going also counter to some men that I respect who would encourage parents to watch something like the VMA Awards. And the reason I would say no is because I don't think you have to watch it to get the gist of it. And so let me give an example of this. I had no desire to watch anything that MTV produces because I'm savvy enough to know that the stuff that they produce is an abomination to God. Hmm. And I don't think that there's any need for me to view their abominations. And this goes all the way back. I'll give you an example of this. I probably mentioned this before on a podcast, but years ago I was at a Super Bowl party, and I heard that it was going to be MTV producing the halftime show. Well, I excused myself from the room. I said, there's no way I'm going to watch anything produced by MTV. It's corrupt. And so I met with a friend, and we were talking and just catching up when all of a sudden we heard this uproar in the other room. And of course it was that situation where there was this Janet Jackson wardrobe malfunction happened. Of course, was the big news for the entire year and maybe even beyond. And everybody was shocked. And what shocked me was, like, how can anybody be shocked that this happened during a halftime show produced by MTV? You've got to be kidding me. I mean, are we that naive? And so, you know, that's kind of the stance that I've taken for many years. And I don't think that we have to watch it. So what I did was I simply, this morning, got on Google News, and I just did, you didn't even have to do a search. I mean, it's in the news today, the VMA Awards. Of course, we're pre-recording this, so by the time our listeners hear this, it'll be a few days later. But this is Monday morning, and when I saw, you know, when I saw this in the news, I clicked on a few of the news items, and let me tell you, just clicking on, you know, whether it's Fox News or CBN or any of these major news networks, you know, you click on this, and if it has anything to do with MTV, first of all, it's going to be shocking enough. You know, unfortunately, all of these news sites have videos and pictures, so it's really hard not to be accosted by these abominations that they are presenting, you know, even in a news article. So my first introduction to these music video awards was a picture of Miley Cyrus, and it's a picture that I really don't want in my head, you know. So I quickly had to scroll past the picture of Miley Cyrus to read the article, and then there was also a video. And I watched this, I think it was a 50-second video, and I was about ready to throw up by the time I had seen a 50-second video of some clips of what was going on during the MTV VMA Awards. Now, I've said this before in this podcast, that has nothing to do with Philip being some Pollyanna who hasn't been around the block and is just so ultra-sensitive, you know, as if I had grown up Amish or something. You know, that's not the case. I mean, I had accosted my heart and mind with a lot of these abominations and nonsense growing up, and over the last 20-plus years, I've been on a journey to allow the Lord to wash my mind, you know, to cleanse my heart. And as that has happened, I've become more and more sensitive to these things. So I am completely horrified by just reading the articles, just reading the text of what went on. I'm horrified by the picture of Lady Gaga and Miley Cyrus. I'm horrified by the reports given. It's heartbreaking. And I see that this is what's driving a lot of youth culture. So certainly I don't think there's any need for a parent to sit through. I don't even know how long the event was, but if it was longer than the 50 seconds I watched, it's too long, and even the 50 seconds I watched was too long. So I think there's other ways that we can get a gist of these things, and rather than just diving into the cesspool of this garbage and thinking that we're going to learn something. I don't think that's helpful.
So with all of this negative influence coming from places like MTV, what would you suggest is a Christian response to that, or the way we could counter that message?
That's great. And that's really the heart of what we want to do with this ministry, Media Talk 101. You know, once again, our motto is teaching media discernment in the light of following Christ. So we need to follow Christ. And with this, once again, this torrent of godless culture coming against young people today, I have described it many times. It's like a tsunami that just comes crashing onto our shores, the shores of our families, the shores of our churches, the shores of our communities, and it just takes so many people out. How do we stand? Well, one of the things that I think we need to be teaching young people today is to model the life of Jesus Christ. And how do we do this? Because it's pointed out, you know, that we really don't know much about Jesus when he was younger. You know, we have the story of his birth. We have one short story about when he was 12 years old and going to Jerusalem to the temple. And then we don't really hear about him again in the stories, in the gospel presentations, until he's about 30 years old when John the Baptist comes on the scene, and then Jesus comes on the scene and begins his public ministry. And so there's this gap between the age of 12 and 30 that we just don't know a lot about. But it would be a mistake to say we don't know anything about that time, because the Bible actually teaches that teaches us six things about the life of Jesus during those years. And this was first brought to my attention through a little book called The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ by Jerry Ross. And I was given this book by a friend, and I was really perplexed by the title of the book, you know, The Teenage Years of Jesus Christ. Well, I know that, you know, there's all sorts of debate whether we should even be using that term teenage, but it certainly got my attention. But I began to think, where is this guy drawing his information from? So that book sat on my shelf for a couple months before I eventually cracked the cover, more out of just curiosity to know what was he drawing from. And I realized that he was actually drawing from Scripture. And I was like, oh, this is great, because I'm familiar with these Scriptures. I just hadn't put two and two together. And so what he points out in that book are these six things we do know about Jesus during those years. And in the book of Luke, in chapter 2, after the story of Jesus at 12 years old going to the temple and really just amazing the rabbis and the teachers of the day with his knowledge and wisdom and asking good questions, it says about Jesus that he continued. From that point, he continued to increase in wisdom. So there's one thing right there. It says he continued to increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. So let me break those four things down, because these are four things that we know that from that point forward, these are things that Jesus increased in. And these are things that I believe become a great pattern for young people today that we can model. And they can model the life of Jesus Christ. And they say, okay, I'm in that age range. What should I be pouring my energy into? What should my focus be? What is my trajectory? And so the first thing is that you should be increasing in wisdom, just like Jesus increased in wisdom. Now, it is said in an earlier verse in Luke chapter 2 that when Jesus was younger than 12, he was filled with wisdom. And so many times, if you're growing up in a Christian home, praise God, you have godly parents speaking into your life, and you are being filled with wisdom. But after that age of 12, you know, right around that time, you need to go from just being spoon-fed wisdom to increasing in wisdom yourself, that it becomes an endeavor that you latch onto and say, that's what I want to have in my life. I want to be a person who increases in wisdom. And so, and the shocking thing is to think about this. If this is describing Jesus, the Son of God, the creator of the universe, and yet it says he increased in wisdom. And so if Jesus had to increase in wisdom, how much more do we need to increase in wisdom? You know, nobody could claim, I don't need to do that. I've got that covered. You know, Jesus had to do that, but I don't need to do that. That's ridiculous. You know, it's shocking that Jesus needed to do that, but it shouldn't be shocking for us that we need to increase in wisdom. But it doesn't stop there. It says also that he increased in stature. Now, stature, and Jerry Ross brings this out in his book, that stature in the Jewish culture was not just growing taller, you know, because all children, if they're healthy, are going to grow taller during that age. But it's not just about getting bigger and growing taller. It's about growing in maturity, becoming, you know, for young men, manly, and for young ladies to becoming womanly, you know, and to take on the responsibilities. And at that age, you're shifting from childhood into more and more adult responsibilities. And the bar needs to be set higher. And so part of that growing in stature is that I'm going to take on the responsibilities and mature as a godly young adult. Now, the other thing it says that he grew in favor with God. Now, just like, you know, the thing about wisdom, Jesus growing in wisdom, it's just astounding to think that Jesus, the Son of God, would even need to grow in favor with God. But I can imagine how we might need to grow in favor with God. But mm-hmm. certainly if he needed to do this, we should also. And there are so many scriptures. So I want to encourage you. I'm not going to spoon feed you today. All of you are capable that are listening to this to get out your Bibles, to get out a concordance. Or, you know, if you've got a Bible software on your computer, you can do a simple search on favor. And you can look up all the verses, and I've done this before. You can look up all the verses that the Bible teaches us about God's favor and how to gain it and how to fall out of favor. You know, what you might be doing that might fall out of favor with God. And so this is certainly something we should be concerned with. And young people should be, instead of this peer pressure that they succumb to, should say, you know what, I want to grow in favor with God. And what are those things that help me to grow in favor? So do the study on your own and make that part of your life. And that's certainly something that for years now, I continue to endeavor to grow in favor with God. Should be something that never stops. And the other thing, it says he also grew in favor with man. Now, this could be taken in the wrong context. It could, you know, some people could, especially a young person who might be a little rebellious or trying to find ways to justify behavior and say, oh, well, if I'm going to grow in favor with man, maybe I better play video games, you know, because my friends play video games and I'll grow in favor with them if I do the things that they do, or if I watch MTV, or if I listen to the music that they listen to, or if I, you know, that's not what it's talking about, you know, so just scratch that off your list. That's not the context. When it talks about growing in favor with man, it meant that Jesus was a person that people liked to be around, people of all demographics. And we see this in his ministry. You know, I think one story that really points this out is when Jesus is over in the home of a Pharisee dining. So the Pharisees, even though they didn't like Jesus, you know, and a lot of things he was teaching, they still felt comfortable with having him in their home. And they would dine with Jesus. And in one of those stories, there's this immoral woman that comes in, and she falls at his feet, and she begins to wash his feet with her tears and her hair. And she's comfortable with Jesus. And you see that Jesus was an approachable person, and that people, whether they were self-righteous Pharisees or sinners from the gutter, they all knew that Jesus was approachable and he was kind, and he was a type of person that you wanted to be in his presence. And we should be growing in that. We should. And so a young person between that age of 12 and going on up, these young adult years, this is a trajectory for you. You should be making sure you're a person who is growing in favor with man, that you are learning to be socially adept, you know, that you can be a person that is going to be invited to events because people just like being around you. And you can use that then for discipleship and for spreading the gospel. And so that's certainly one thing. But there's two more things. And you've heard me teach this, Rhett, so I'll give you a chance to answer. What's the fifth thing that we know about Jesus?
Well, we know that he remained subject to his parents.
That's right. So in Luke chapter 2, also right around this time after this story of Jesus at 12 years old, it says that he remained subject to his parents. Jesus understood authority, and he understood the importance of authority. And this is also shocking when you think, here's the creator of the universe. You know, he wasn't sitting around going, eh, I don't have to obey my mom and dad. I made them. you know, I made the ground they walk on. I made the air that they breathe. I made the fish in the sea, you know, that they eat. I invented all of this. This is my creation. I don't have to listen to them. But we don't see that in Jesus' life. We see that he was a person who remained subject to his parents. He understood roles and the importance of authority and being under authority and also being in authority. And we know that he has been exalted to the right hand of the Father on high, that he sits upon a throne and is over all authorities, and he rules and reigns from that throne. And he will must, it says in 1 Corinthians, he must rule and reign until all enemies are put under subjection to his under his feet. And we know that until then, there's a battle that's being waged today of those that are in rebellion to the kingdom of Jesus, who rules and reigns above all. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And for young people, it starts as children, it starts as babies, to learn to submit to authority. And because if you can't learn to submit to your parents and to the authority figures in your life, you won't submit to God, because we see our parents, but we don't see God. And if we can't learn to submit to our parents, you're not going to be in submission to God either. Mm-hmm. So that's that. And what's the last thing, Rhett? Because I know that you're keen on this.
Yeah, he learned a wage-earning skill.
All right. And that's also what Jerry Ross brings out in this book, The Teenagers of Jesus Christ, is that the sixth thing that we learn is that not only was Jesus' father Joseph, his earthly father, a carpenter, we know that Jesus also learned carpentry, and he was recognized by his own people and his own neighborhood as being a carpenter. And so during those years, Jesus wasn't just sitting around saying, well, I guess, the show doesn't begin until I'm 30, so I'm just going to kick back, you know, sip lemonade, and not be concerned about anything else. No, he learned a skill that could provide for a family. And this is an important time for any young person in this time in their life to be taking the opportunity. You have so much elective time. You have so much extra energy. You have so many hopes and dreams that can be funneled into godly ways to say, during this time of my life, I want to make sure that I'm preparing myself to fulfill the role that God has called me to fulfill. And so developing a good work ethic, developing skills that are going to be available to you to help meet the needs of a future family. And so for young men, this is going to look a little different than young ladies, because I believe the Bible teaches us there are distinct roles between men and women. And so each of those are going to need to be endeavoring to pursue things that will help you become the kind of person that you're going to need to be. And so you start now. It's not I'm going to wait till I get married to become responsible and learn to work hard. Or learn to keep house. It's got to start now. So if you're 12 years old or older, these are six things. And I think these are the things that counter this godless culture being spewed into our culture through things like MTV. And it's a good place to start. This is a good trajectory for young people today.
Well, I think that's about all the time we have for this podcast. Do you have anything to share in closing?
Well, let me just continue to encourage you to send us an email if you have a question or a comment. I would love to hear from you. We are continuing to just assess whether these podcasts are being helpful to the body of Christ. We don't need to waste our time or yours if they're falling on deaf ears, or they're not falling on anybody's ears. So you might be thinking that, I don't need to write because Philip's probably hearing from, you know, the 10 other people listening to the podcast. So actually, we hope that there's more than that. But actually, we haven't been hearing from too many people. This is something that's, you know, part of our assessment of whether this is helpful. So I do want to thank those who have taken the time, the handful of people who have sent us an encouraging email. But I want to encourage you, if you're listening to this and you have a comment or a question, or you just like to say, hey, you know, keep doing what you're doing and encourage us in this journey, we'd appreciate that. You can send that to podcast@mediatalk101.org. Once again, that's podcast@mediatalk101.org. So you've been listening to the Media Talk 101 podcast, and I want to encourage you to visit mediatalk101.org for helpful articles, videos, and other resources. And join us next week as we take some more questions and provide some biblical answers.